sweet love. That's the only thing that there's just too little of. You know what? He could have made that popular today again. Eh? Still plays today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How we need that. But you know, when you think about the love we had as teenagers or the world needing love, we usually associate that with some sort of warm, fuzzy feeling, don't we? And we've tended to apply that to our Christian lives as well, expecting that same kind of warm, fuzzy feeling. And let's be honest, any of you who've walked this road for any length of time will know that it's not always like that. Not by a long shot. And yet love is fundamental to our Christian life. Without it, we don't have a faith. Our faith is grounded in God's love for us. And I try to emphasize that this morning with what we were praying and singing, that it's about us knowing God's love for us and responding to that love that makes the Christian life, the Christian faith possible. The word occurs over 300 times in our New Testament, 317 times, depending on which version you're reading. But we will never understand that biblical instruction that we are to love God and love our neighbors if all we think of is having that warm, fuzzy feeling. We'll never understand it. But what does it mean? I mean, how can Jesus say, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another"? How is that possible? Just the opening slide there. Oh, what's happened now? Oh dear, somebody moved the projector. Can that change? You're going to see if you can. Okay, that'll be great if it does. How is it possible to be told, commanded to love one another if all love is what we associate with the 1965 hit song? Or if we associate it with those feelings that we had way back in our teenage years, or even more recently than that, how can you command someone to have love like that? And yet that's what happened. Jesus commanded us. He commanded us to love. What is up there? Still not. Okay. Alistair, I'm going to move on, and you might have to catch up with me later on, all right? So when Jesus spoke to his disciples, he said this. He was asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he gives this reply, and he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Love God. How do you love God? How do you love one another? And that's another command that Jesus gave. And he said in John 13, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. Love one another." And in chapter 15, he says this, "My command is this, love each other." I'm going to be saying that so often here this morning, you're going to be bored by the end of it. But I hope that it'll register something. Have we got anything close there? Not really. And then he goes even further and he says, "My command is this, love each other, but love your enemies as well." How is it? It's not possible to have a warm, fuzzy feeling about someone who's your enemy. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Well, not even tax collectors doing that. And when Paul writes to the Ephesians, he says the same thing. He says, husbands, love your wives. It's in the imperative mood, which means it's a command. Husbands, love your wives. That's an instruction from God. When Paul writes to the Colossians, he says, I want you to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. What is he talking about? How is it possible? And yet that's what Jesus requires of us. And then Jesus goes one step further and he says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Now, either Jesus was totally unrealistic, or else we've misunderstood what love is. But we are to love. Because you see, you cannot command someone to have certain loving feelings. And maybe we have misunderstood love from a biblical perspective. In fact, let me rephrase that. We have misunderstood love if we're going to try and understand it biblically. But we are to love, we are told, as Jesus loved. So with John 13:34, he says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. As I have loved you. That's what you're to do. My command is this, he said in chapter 15, love each other as I have loved you. And that phrase that I quoted only part of, well, all of these are only part of the full scriptures. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. That's how you're to love your wives, as Christ loved the church. What on earth does that mean? How has Christ loved us? Well, Jesus himself said, greater love is no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. That's what great love is, being prepared to lay down your life for the person that you say you loved. Well, Paul's letter to the Galatians, where he's explaining to them, he says, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what Jesus did. He gave himself for me. That's how I know that he loved me. To the Ephesians, Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's how he loved. And he says that's how we're to love. And in 1 John we read this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. We know that Jesus was talking about giving himself on the cross. If we're going to love as Jesus did, we'll find out very soon that it is not by having warm, fuzzy feelings. Do you know that when Jesus went to the cross, he didn't feel warm and loving about us? He didn't say, Father, I just feel so good about these people. I can't wait to let myself be abused and tortured to death so that I can show my love for them. He didn't say that at all. In fact, I want to show you something else. Matthew 26, you read this. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night when he was about to be arrested and taken to trial and ultimately to be crucified. He goes away and he prays. He fell with his face to the ground, Matthew 26, verse 39. And he says, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken away from me. That's his prayer. And then he goes back and finds his friends and they've fallen asleep. And he went away, we're told, and prayed the second time. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken from me unless I drink it, may your will be done. And he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Do you know what he was saying there? Do you know what he was praying? Do you understand what he was praying? He was saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. He wasn't feeling warm and fuzzy about the fact that he was going to die on the cross. But he also said, yet not my will, but as you will. May your will be done. And he prayed the third time, saying the same thing. It's not about me. Father, it's about you. What your will is, I will do it. I will do it. But Jesus was not feeling loving, and yet he was determined to demonstrate his love by giving of himself totally. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's what love's about. It means putting our wants, desires aside for the sake of the other person. That's what love's about. So how does that have its outworking into our lives as a church, as families, as husband and wife, couples? How does that have its outworking? If we're told that we're to love as Jesus loved, how did he love? He was prepared to sacrifice his own wants and desires, which was not to go to the cross. That was his desire. Take this cup away from me. What else can you understand him been meaning at that point? He was saying, I don't want to have to do this. He knew what he was going to face. Nevertheless, he goes through with it. He says, because I love them. Love is doing whatever it takes to make the other person feel loved. Stay with that thought. If you remember nothing else out of this morning, please remember this. Love is doing whatever it takes to make the other person feel loved. And when we start understanding that that's what Jesus did, he went to the cross even though he didn't want to. Even though he was saying that last moment, I don't want to have to go through with this. And you can understand something of what he was going through. He says, but I'll do it, Father, because it's what you want. And that's the way I can demonstrate love to my people. So how does it have its outworking? Well, what can you do to make someone else feel loved? In the church environment, what can you do to make someone else feel loved? Well, the first thing is you don't ignore them. You don't look past them. You choose to, when someone new comes in, you choose to reach out, even if you don't actually know exactly what you're going to say to them. And I'm too shy, we say. You know, I'm not a good conversationalist. I don't do that well. But going out of your way, even choosing to do something that is difficult so that the other person knows that they are welcomed and loved in a place like this. What can you do for your children so that they know that they are loved? What can you do for your spouse so that they know that they are loved? Because love is so much more than just feeling warm and fuzzy about one another. Love is about doing what it takes to make the other person feel loved, because that's what Jesus did. And when he says, love one another as I have loved you, that's what he's talking about. I have loved you by being willing to sacrifice myself, putting aside my own desires, thoughts, whatever, putting all that aside so that I can demonstrate love for somebody else. And we need to ask ourselves, what can I do to make them feel loved? And when he said in John chapter 13, verse 34, as I have loved you, as I have loved you, this is my demonstration of love. As I have loved you, so go and love one another. Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. It's not about me. Love is not about me feeling good or feeling loving. Love is about choosing to say, I want you to feel loved. I want you to feel loved. And that's how he can even say that, as we're commanded to love our enemies. Not many of us have enemies here. We have people who get on our nerves. We have people who we don't necessarily want to spend time with, that we dislike perhaps. But what can we do to show love to them? We have to think about those things and say, I wonder what I could do to make them feel loved. And sometimes we don't even want to be loving. Maybe you've been hurt so much. You say, I don't want to demonstrate love to that person. I don't want to demonstrate forgiveness to that person. And yet that's part of what it means to be a Christian, to choose to demonstrate love to others. That's what we're called to do. But this is not normal. It's not natural. It's hard. It's hard. But it's not impossible. It's supernatural. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to be working in us, to enable us, give us the strength, the wisdom, the know-how, to be able to say, that's how I'm going to love you. And it sounds like the Lord agrees with me. You see, loving is a decision of the will. It's not just about feeling good. It's not about me. It's about what can I do for you. And in a few minutes' time, we're going to be taking communion. Oops. I hope we're taking communion. We're going to be taking communion in a little while. And that's... communion is all about Jesus demonstrating his love for us. That's what we're remembering every time we take communion. I know that we can get louder and louder, and I really don't want to do that. But let's keep going. I'm almost finished. To say this very simply, that loving is a decision of the will. You guys can just keep the stuff there. It's fine. Oh, you're going to come out. All right. And it's a matter of choosing how we can make others feel loved. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. That's what Jesus told, Jesus' words through John in chapter 14. Love as I have loved you. Let me just speak to those of you who are married. It's easy to start taking one another for granted. It's very easy. It's also easy to get selfish. In fact, we don't have to nurture selfishness. It just happens naturally inside of us, all of us. And when we ask God to do something supernatural in us, we're asking him to say, show me how I can do this. And maybe if you're in troubled waters right now, maybe the question to ask is, Lord, will you show me what I can do to demonstrate love to my wife? What can I do to demonstrate love to my husband? How can I do that? Have you folk heard of the five love languages? I'm sure many of you have probably read it a number of times. It's a book by a chap by the name of Gary Chapman. And what he did was he said that there are five areas that he chose five. He could have chose 7 or 10 or 28. I don't know. He chose five. And he said there are five areas, five ways in which we can demonstrate love to one another. And the five love languages assumes that every one of us knows what it feels like when we are being loved. All right? We know what it feels like. If someone else is loving me, it's because they did something. They gave me affirming words, or they touched me in a special way, or they gave me gifts, or they spent quality time with me, or they served me in some way or another, and that made me feel loved. And so if getting gifts is my love language, our normal reaction is to say, therefore, if I want to demonstrate love, I give gifts. But your wife's love language may not be, the dialect of love that she speaks may not be learning to accept gifts. Maybe for her, it's spending some quality time with her. And so if you speak giving gifts to her, she doesn't understand you, because for her, it's needing quality time with you. And whatever it is, we need to take time off to try to understand what is that person's love language. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't read the five love languages, to get hold of it. It wasn't on the shelf there this morning, but I'm sure you can borrow it from somebody. And that's what makes marriages work. When we choose to say, what can I do to make my partner feel loved? And speaking their love language. And even if it costs me, I'm going to take a step to do that. If my love language is being served in one way or another, there's no point in me serving Val if her love language is, I don't know, affirming words. I need to speak her language. I need to affirm her, do what I can in order to build her up. And each of us has our own love dialect. And the best thing we can do is take time to try to understand what the other person's dialect is, and then speaking their language to them, doing what it takes for them to be able to feel loved. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, love one another. Not just feeling good about one another, but doing what we can, even to the point of putting our own lives aside. Even to our enemies. And maybe that's incredibly hard. No, not maybe. That is incredibly hard. When there's someone we don't like, and let's face it, most of us don't have real enemies. We've got people who just get on our nerves. Or people, maybe people who have hurt us. And maybe we've got to learn to forgive as well. Love one another as I have loved you. And you want to know why the church is so insipid? In whatever community we find each other. I know it's easy to want to say, all we need is power manifestations and everyone will be drawn to us. Nah, not true. Jesus says, when you love one another, that's how people will know that you are my disciples. And when, as a church, we choose to say, I want to know what your love language is, and I want to learn to speak your language. And when I do that, others will notice. Others will notice. But it takes more than just Mark to do it, or Vicky. It takes all of us to do that. You choose to say, I want to demonstrate love to others who come in here. And most of us, it's so wonderful to see some younger people here this morning. You're so welcome here. Just know that. And I'm sorry that we're all so old. And I mean that in more ways than one. But anyway, but we are old. But you know what? Regardless of the age difference, we can choose to say, how can I demonstrate love to this person? How can I demonstrate love to the stranger who comes in who I don't even know yet? You go and you start being interested in them and finding out about them and about their lives. And maybe you get to the point of saying, so what's your love language? That's how we learn to love one another. And on this Mother's Day, how are you going to let your mother know that you love her? For those of us who still have mothers who are alive, how are you going to let her know? Find out what her love language is and then speak her language. And then you're starting to be Jesus' disciples. And you know what? Every time we share communion, that's what we're remembering. We're remembering Jesus' love for us as individuals and as a body. And he broke his body. And we remember that as we break the bread. And he was prepared to go to the point of shedding his blood for you and for me. Demonstrating love for you and for me. And demonstrating how we should love one another. And I know it sounds dramatic, shedding of blood. But maybe it's in the small things. Maybe I can just encourage you in some way. Or maybe I can give you a small gift to say I was thinking about you. If that's their language, learn to speak their language. And each time we share communion, we're recognizing that it's a demonstration of God's love for you. That's what it's about. And it's a reminder of his commission to us. When he's saying, as I have loved you, so you should love one another. I don't know if you've been able to take any of what I've been saying in this morning. I haven't felt this nervous about preaching since 40 years ago when I started out. But please hear this. Jesus wants you to love one another, wants us to love one another. And it's not impossible. Take off a moment to talk to him. And then Trevor's going to lead us into communion. Lord Jesus, you see the depths of our hearts and you love us the same. Here we are saying we want to love you too. And you also say that if we love you, we will obey your commandments, and your command is that we love one another. Please, Lord, we want to do that. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come upon us as your body that meets together in this place, that your Spirit would come upon us and give us love for one another. Not just when we're singing songs about it, but when we're interacting with one another. Show us how to do that, Lord, I pray. In your name.